Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai. And Onam greetings to all our listeners. Good morning, dear listeners, and welcome to Thursday Live. You're tuned to our Asia stream coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. My name is Karuna, and it's my privilege to host this segment, Morning Glory. Managing this live program on the sound console is audio engineer Brother Sunil. Thank you for staying with us on this very beautiful Thursday morning, September the 19th, 2013. We are coming to you live from the Radio Sai studios here at Prashanthi Nilayam in Andhra Pradesh, India, where the time right now is 9:40 a.m. Current weather conditions in Puttaparthi, a mix of sun and cloud, with strong chances of continuing monsoon rains, which all of us welcome with delight. Temperatures right now, 23 degrees outside our studios, and we are expecting a daytime high of 30. This coming weekend, we are actually expecting some hill station weather conditions with minimum 21, maximum only 26 degrees Celsius. Coming up on Morning Glory this morning, a brand new in-house Fleeting Moments Lasting Memories interview, which I'm pretty confident you're going to absolutely love. Under the spotlight today on that interview is my colleague and my brother, Satyanarayan Babu. He's also, apart from being a member of the Radio Sai team, he's also the tall young priest you see offering aarti to Bhagwan by the Mahasamadhi after the conclusion of every single bhajan session there. But before that, Spotlight PN, where PN stands, of course, for Prashanthi Nilayam. Today, we're going to talk about a miracle school that has come out as a result of Baba's love and selflessness and his inspiration to his devotees on the periphery of Puttaparthi. Have a listen, please, and we'll talk about this school under Spotlight PN a bit more later on the show. Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to Spotlight PN, the program that focuses on outstanding community projects and institutions that have sprung in and around Prashanthi Nilayam as a result of the direct inspiration of Bhagwan Baba and his gospel of pure love. If by a magic wand you were transported to a school compound on the outskirts of Puttaparthi, you'd scarcely believe your eyes. You'd find yourself in a magnificent school campus, echoing with the laughter of happy children, going about learning and playing, exploring and discovering. A series of flowing, airy and inviting spaces would embrace you in an idyllic learning environment where every brick and bush has been laid out in perfect harmony with the surroundings. Welcome to the very first and so far the only 100% ecologically sustainable school in the entire state of Andhra Pradesh in South India, the Sri Sai Prashanthi School at Karnataka Nagapalli, located next to Puttaparthi. East and West, tradition and technology come together at the state-of-the-art school, which combines the best practices of Vastu Shastra, eco-friendly architecture and living practices with every detail thought out to perfection. The learning environment aims to balance the head, the hand and the heart via academic excellence and character-based education. Dear listeners, if you found yourself in the school's computer lab, you'd think you're at one of those super expensive private international schools in Bangalore that charge a bundle for fees. But this amazing school educates rural and poor children near Puttaparthi, and it nurtures them with way more than just high-quality education free of cost. A short distance from Puttaparthi, across the bridge over Chitravati riverbed, is the road to Bukkapatnam. A half-kilometer drive on the left leads to the Sri Sai Prashanthi School at Karnataka Nagapalli. This beautiful miracle, right next door to us, is an outcome of pure intention, persistence, some very hard work, and implicit obedience to the teachings of Universal Teacher to Humanity, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba.
Today at Radio Sai Studios, we have with us three key members of the Sri Sai Prashanti School team. A farm girl from Tasmania, Australia, Gaia Star has been a businesswoman, a teacher and a florist before her involvement with the Sri Sai Prashanti School began in the year 2007. Earlier on in 2003, when their master Bhagwan Baba instructed them to do so, Gaia Star and her husband, Victor Baba, had relocated to Puttaparthi, India and have been serving the local community in various ways ever since. Gaia's husband, Victor Baba, has been a global citizen before he settled down in Puttaparthi, India as per Bhagwan's instructions. Born in Austria, Europe to Russian parents, Victor has lived in America and Australia. He is a builder by vocation and he came to Baba in 1977. Also joining us today is Mr. K. Srinivasulu, the principal of the Sri Sai Prashanti School. Son of a farmer near Puttaparthi, Brother Srinivasulu holds a master's degree in arts and a bachelor's in education. He is qualified to teach up to grade 10. Sairam, Sister Gaia Star, Brother Victor Baba and Brother Srinivasulu, and a very warm welcome to all of you.
Sairam. Sairam.
Let's start with this dream, the dream that you had to build the school. How did it come true?
I getting married in 2000, March. I am coming from 25 kilometers from here. I am studying before Ishwarama School. After I getting three jobs, I go interview, but Baba says, no, you don't go job. Afterwards, I am open one school. I went to Bangalore, Whitefield. Swami look at me directly, 2 feet only near with me. That time my body very shock, like a current shock. That time Baba says, don't worry, don't fear. Why you fear I am here? You go and open school. Only poor and orphanage children. That time I will come back Puttaparthi. I don't have any house, anything. I have only thatched roof, house, old house. My wife parents giving to me that small house. That time I open with 4 children. After suddenly one person came from German guy. He is a German guy like Swami hairs. And also, dress also orange color dress. He came, he gave me instructions. Please, you do something else here. I don't have any house, anything. That time, German guy, Johan, his name Johan. He gave me 10,000 rupees in cash. I am making small hut. Next day, one Japan lady came suddenly. She came in my home, she looked school, she crying. Oh, teacher, what are you doing here? She crying, she gave me 25,000 rupees. Total, that time I have 35,000 rupees. I built small room. Afterwards, Baba came with me dream, sometime I bring children in ashram.
So you had these 4 students?
Yeah.
So you used to bring them to the ashram for darshan?
After 1 month, 4 students. Next month, 10 students. 10 students I bring ashram every Thursday darshan. That time Swami giving to some prasadam. Swami interviewed to us indoor stadium. After some devotees look at me and children. These people also helping 10,000, 5,000 like that. We built a next room. Afterwards, some Italian people came. Suddenly, these people, Sunday they came in my home. They asking fees. How much one child? I am telling, this is free school. Suddenly, they give me 6,000 rupees, Sunday. Next day, they came 14 people. I am fear. Why these people fighting with me? These people, Italian people gave me 5,000-6,000 rupees. Suddenly, tomorrow, Monday, they came, they asked, you come here. I go office room, I don't have any office room, my house, only my house. That time, I don't understand anything. Suddenly, I call to Gaia. Ma, some people came doing something. He take care of. That's why our school growing step by step, step by step, step by step.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Beautiful. It's just like Swami's will was manifesting and each person kept walking.
Now I am free. Gaya, Baba sending to Gaya. Victor, Peter from Denmark. He's my best friend, best father. Peter from Denmark. Before I don't know Gaya Victor, Peter introduced me. Please contact Gaya Victor. He is also Baba. Swami sent to like this.
So this whole circle came together.
Yeah. Now I am free. Gaya, very, very busy person now. I am free. Only I am take care of children's teachers.
So you can take care of the academic and running the school.
Yes. Now Gaya, big work, busy person. She's a business person.
Okay.
Yes. Now, she's like my mother and father.
Very nice.
Yeah.
What is the mission of the Sri Sai Prashanti School?
How can I say? It's such an incredible story like you have expressed and with Sheena and coming in. But with Victor and I, we feel that the mission is having a harmonious building or environment for children to learn. Because we both have children and we've been to a lot of schools and we see a lot of things. So with our skills and our, we like beauty and things like that. So that's basically what our mission is, to have that particular environment for these four children. And of course, we really are full on about the five values. Swami got me here on the five values because I think the world has lost those. So we implement them on a daily basis. And we have it on our website that it's in the West, we say reuse, recycle and respect. Now, that's probably flooded in the West, those three words, but when you bring those words into India, it's very hard to implement because I feel that with our school, it's from Mother Earth and with the bricks and everything, and we have to give back. So teaching other ways as well with that environment. So our mission is so big, but you have to look at it on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. You know? Oh, that's beautiful. So the environment as well as the curriculum both have to teach you the same thing and reinforce each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now our curriculum NCRT.
So you follow the NCRT, which is the national...
State also, central syllabus, central.
It's not the state Andhra Pradesh, it is the national Indian syllabus.
National Indian syllabus.
And it's very challenging, isn't it?
Yeah, very challenging.
And it's all English medium?
English medium, total English medium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, as a project, the Sri Sai Prashanti School appears to be a sum total of many unique features. It's just everything from the time the land was bought and treated for insects using only natural herbs, herbicide, pesticide, to the construction, to the building, to all the various things that happened there, from the architect to the rainwater harvesting, solar systems. Victor, you are the builder. Can you walk us through some of those unique features?
Yes. We moved here in 2003. And I was praying to Swami because I had nothing to do, so I would read books at home. Swami had told us he was going to shoot Guy and me like arrows. And I thought, oh, what is this? And in 2005, I was inspired to go to Oroville Earth Institute and learn how to make these compressed stabilized earth blocks and how to have the soil tested. And then when we came in contact with Mr. Srinivas, after going to the school, I learned we found the land, and we found the land, and it was very cheap for the land because nobody believed there was any water there.
Oh,
well, with Swami's grace, the first hole we dug, we got plenty of water. Now the land's pretty expensive. Compressed stabilized earth blocks are earth, sand, and only 5% cement. They don't require any maintenance. If you lifted one when you were there, it's so much heavier than any brick you've lifted. They will last 200-300 years. then
and they're so beautiful to look at, and they feel very cool and perfect temperature.
And no maintenance. There's no painting, and they're cool in the summer and warm in the winter. I knew the self-sustainable architect in Bangalore, and he did all the architectural plans with what Gaia and I wanted, and all the engineering for it. And he had a contract that has done hundreds of self-sustainable projects, and also knew how to do the earth blocks. And we were running around on the Puttaparthi Road looking for the proper dirt. And then we found out it was on the land once we had to test it. So all the blocks, the thousands and thousands of blocks, were made right on the property with earth, sand, and 5% cement.
And your architect, I believe, is a Canadian?
Yes, he's a Canadian, and he's in Bangalore, and he's become like a son to us. He was coming when the building... It was built so fast, had enough money to start by October 2011, and the school was finished in November 2012. And that's pretty fast here in India. And the eco-sustainability, first of all, we have rain harvesting, where all the water is collected and goes through sand filters and then gets pumped up into a 3,500-liter tank. But under the kitchen, we have a 35,000-liter tank where water is stored. And then the self-sustainable living center by the super specialty hospital custom made solar-powered water purifier for us that produces up to 1,500 liters of water a day. But we only use that for drinking water for the children because they were getting sick from the bore water, and for the cooking, and there's a number of taps for children washing their hands. And now we've installed the 9 computers, as you mentioned. And, of course, we want to do everything so you can't see any of the wires, anything like that. Then the other part of the water system is how do we get rid of the wastewater? Well, the wastewater goes down into 5 tanks underground.
So you mean from the washrooms?
From the toilets, washrooms, kitchen,
everything.
Any wastewater.
Okay.
And it goes through 5 different tanks. There's no machinery in there. Each tank is 75 millimeters lower than the other one, so the solids settle down in the first one, and the cleaner water goes in the second one. It happens 5 times. And then from the 5th tank, it goes into a big pond that we built. We put gravel in there, and hopefully we'll have plants with hair-like roots. They will catch whatever is left. And then that water looks absolutely clean, but it's not potable. So we are going to use that to water the organic gardens that we're planting. And now we're doing battery backup systems. As more funds become available, we're having a solar water pump. And just use the one from the grid as a backup. And eventually we will have total solar energy for the whole school. Not that we use much power, but for the future, we will do that. Because now we have 120 students, and we're on top of the 4 classrooms that we have in the dome. We're going to build 4 more. As the children progress, each year we will add another class and another 25-30 students. because what has happened is when we built the school, there were only a few students going to grade 9 and 10 and with 9. And we through Gaia's work and a German lady's work, we got enough money to pay for them to go to a school that we couldn't teach at the time. But now we go from first grade to fifth grade, and each year we will add a grade. And
as your children grow, the school will grow with the children.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. What a lovely vision.
Yeah.
But that's awfully nice of you to see the graduating students through their high school years, even though they go to a different school.
Yeah, different school. They go to.
So you provide
now,
for their fees?
Dubai is working, Dubai studying one by. His name Raju. He is studying now BTEC.
Wow, Bachelor's of Technology.
Yeah, Bachelor of Technology. His name Raju. Raju's sister, also BTEC.
And they are students of your school?
Yeah, our school, yeah.
What moment of pride it must be for you to see
the
gratification that your children are succeeding so well. And these are children from very disadvantaged homes.
We have 12 out children. We have 12 children that are different schools. And we supply uniforms, their fees, pocket money, because they were not stragglers, but they're... how can I say, we couldn't have one child in year 7 with one teacher, you know, so we just had to reorganize everything.
Oh, beautiful.
And it's really been beautiful. This is a little bit of a funny story. One day, we call Srinivas Sheena.
Right.
He came about 4 o'clock, and we thought there's something wrong with him because he's waving papers and waving papers, and he's so happy, and it takes a while for him to calm down. And when we got him calmed down, he shows us 2 checks for 5,000 rupees from the federal government, and it's for 2 of the students that we sent to another school. They got the top marks.
Oh, so they got the scholarship. My God.
So
award.
They're getting award, 2 children's.
Fantastic.
Silpa and Satya Sai. 2 children's getting award from state government.
For their academic excellence, for the high scores.
Yeah,
high
and
scores.
The 5,000 rupees to these disadvantaged families is
a lot of money.
A month's wages.
Of course. That's fantastic news.
Two children in our school, 2 children getting government award. That time, I have teachers, children, everyone very happy. This year also, they become 2 children go to Delhi examination. Wooden Baba Grace.
I'm sure they will succeed and do very well.
Yes.
Now, to translate such a noble vision into a reality in a remote village must have been very challenging, to say the least. How did you cope with the barriers of language, culture, work ethic, and distance also from urban areas where you normally would find skilled labor and materials more readily? It must have been quite a challenge to do it here.
Well, it was a challenge, but we had a lot of help from the architect, because he had his own contractor. And being here 10 years that we have been, I know all the builders, all the workers, and in that time we filtered out the workers and we only used the best workers. And I was going to supervise the whole project, but now I realize that it was pretty impossible. I had to have this man that could speak Telugu and English as well, and work with him, and because he knew where to get all the supplies, where to gather information if we needed information, and. Gaia and I, we cannot speak Telugu, but an example is the carpenter we use, called Shekhar. He did the whole self-sustainable living center. There's 20 rooms there and 7 apartments, and he only knows a few words in English, but somehow we have a heart-to-heart connection. I tell him what I want, and maybe I have to draw some kind of a rough sketch, and he does it perfectly.
Mm.
But aside from that, he came over yesterday because Anandapur, as you know, is closed, and he's doing some work here, and he calls me brother, I call him brother, but he's like my son, really. And
so the goodwill helps you to tide over all the barriers.
Yeah. And since Swami has been out of the body, these people come, and when foreigners want work done, we recommend these people. Mm-hmm. And they appreciate it very much.
Mm-hmm. That's very nice to know. Gaya, your take?
On the challenges? Well, you can, like we all just explained, we have a Canadian architect. We have Victor as American-Australian with a Russian. I'm Australian. Sheen is Hindu. Then we throw in a Muslim as a contractor and whoever else comes. So I think the challenges, I think we all had to fall back on Swami's teachings, the five values, love all, serve all, because we all come from different minds, different teachings and whatever, because he loves throwing everyone in one pot. And this is the opportunity to learn his teachings. And I wouldn't call them, we can look back now and laugh. But we never got angry. I think we all found out that we had what skills we could put with this project as an individual.
Mm.
And with the three men, with Martin, Victor and Suleiman, the contractor, all these three men love beauty. And they turn into children. So when you have that basis, and then Srinivas and I was, so I think if you just go with what Baba has given you in your heart and put it all together, and it just all comes, he stirs it all up, and then it comes out.
So this Sarvadharma team that you had, everybody loved beauty.
Yes.
And the children seem to respond so positively to it.
It does. And Baba loves beauty too. Yeah, so,
beauty is God.
So you do, it doesn't matter what nationality you are or what language or whatever, but it all comes down from the heart. Heart and beauty and for the sake of the children. It's all because it's for the children. And India needs to be to educate their children. And I think with all us, our backgrounds, we're all the underdogs, we call that in Australia, and we like to fight for the unprivileged and, those type of people. So Baba threw us in there, and we had fun. Well, the challenges were...
A lot of learning must have happened for you as well.
As a personal, it's given me the biggest growth in my spiritual self. It really has, because... I'm just getting all shivers now, so Baba must be happy with that quotation, because to me the five values are very, very important wherever you go. And the small quote that Baba tells you, love all and serve all. So many people get confused about that. And then he throws in discrimination. But when you finish with the ego or the I'm this, I'm that, or not, that's all it comes down to. And I remember saying, we had a little opening, a speech, and I said, we're all students. They might be 5 years old and they might be 80 years old, but we're all students of Baba's. So if you come from that point of view, a lot of things just, flow.
Yeah.
They really do. But, I've got this, I had a few little things here.
Please.
There's one beautiful quote which Victor and I constantly use when we meet people and all that. And Swami says, you live and breathe and have your being in this ocean of God. You are just like fish in water. So,
can you repeat that once again? It's so beautiful.
I said, you live and breathe and have your beingness in this ocean of God. And he says, you are like fish in water. So if you can think, if we are fish in water, we are already in the ocean of God.
Exactly.
So when you come along with that mindful consciousness or whatever people say, we are in God now.
Mm.
So you just play the game as his instruments, because he certainly will direct you which way you're supposed to go.
It's a beautiful perspective to work from for, I think, sure shot way of having his will manifest very easily without any obstacles in a very natural flow.
I didn't say we didn't have obstacles, but we, you know, but when you come from that thing, you just let them go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you
know how to deal with them, I guess.
We don't really need to, because, like Guy said, Swami said, we live, breathe, and have our being in the ocean of God, and we know Swami arranges everything.
Everything, true.
When the strike happened here,
yes, with the Telangana, the politics.
We didn't think it was fair not to pay the teachers for the month that the strike was happening, because they need to eat, feed their children, and all this. But we were down to not very much money in the bank account, and we could have worried about it because there was only 2 weeks left, and then we get quite a big donation from Japan.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, perfect timing. Mm-hmm. And Swami always waits till the last minute or second to see how your faith is. Yeah. Are they gonna?
How your faith and trust is in God.
Yeah.
And if you have that, and Sheena and I always discuss this.
We discuss about salaries, maintenance. Suddenly, Baba is sending. We know that. What we want, Baba knows, we don't know.
Yeah. And exactly what you need.
Exactly, yes.
How many teachers do you employ full-time?
Four teachers. With me, five teachers total.
Including yourself. All the staff is paid.
Yeah. Total BEd. One teacher, she 10 plus 2 plus TTC, teacher training center. Now she doing. All qualified teachers.
And Gaya and Victor, obviously you work in your honorary capacities.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I haven't earned a rupee since I've started, but I probably never will. rupee's in a different way.
We don't really need to. 100% of the money that people send from nine different countries goes straight into the two school bank accounts. One is for costs, and one is for the building fund. And we've never touched it whatsoever, because we live off my American and Australian pension. And
it's quite interesting when you're saying, you're going to ask about the funding of the school, you know. Well, in Australia, I used to do funding for cancer research and also with old people's homes. So funding has been one of my little skills.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I was quite good at it. Okay, but when you come to India and when you come into Baba's field and all his teachings, you have to get rid of all those thoughts and all those different ways.
Because, so you have to unlearn everything.
Because it just doesn't work.
That's true.
Because you thought you were always the doer or something like that, you're creating something, but he just takes everything away. So you're talking about funding, there's no such word really. I remember coming to the school, and I'm so inquisitive because I wanted to know how these Western people and Indian people came to an outskirt school, which is outside Puttaparthi.
Because you have a lot of visitors, right?
And in the beginning we had plenty. And then, I'll just give you two examples. One example was, I asked this lady how she came. She said, well, Baba came in a dream. And she said, he told her to cross the bridge and a child will be at the end, will take you to the school. And I said to this lady, I said, what did you do? Well, first of all, I had to find the bridge. Okay. And when I found the bridge, there's this child and she took me to the school, which is our school.
Mm.
So who is the doer? Who is the director? You really have to let everything go and be in the moment we found and just tell the story of the school, because people come, they like to come, share our story, and they probably just like to come and look at the building. They might like to play with the children, because it's a big healing thing when people come in and visit children. They might like to ask about what our needs are. We can't comment on anything. So they come, we tell the story, and they go. And Baba knows what each individual needs to do for their service. So we don't really fundraise. Baba fundraises. And he tests us, because we've done, when you have 120 children, you get down to the last rupee and you think, oh, Baba, come on, stir it up a bit, we need a few more funds. Mm-hmm. And he always comes through. Always. Because that's a big responsibility. Because we have 120 children, in the future we're looking at 300. So we better get our foundation right. And because we feed them, we clothe them, so we are...
You even give them clothes for wearing at home.
We recycle. I used to we'd be with three other schools before this one, and in my story, we got burnt out, and we lived on second-hand clothes. And I think I know the value of the fabric, and I don't like waste. So I used to put bins around, put a party, and I used to put a little sign, your waste can fit someone else's waste. And those clothes used to be washed and be given to schools, and they recycle into day children, day schools for clothing. So, yes, we being reused and recycled, we do everything. That's how you spend.
And you provide nutritious meals when they're on the campus. The parents don't have to pack them a lunch.
No. We give them milk. That's another thing. A glass of milk, because children are very hungry. We found they're very hungry. They don't get a lot of food.
For breakfast.
So we started with milk, and then I asked the doctor, can we put turmeric in it? And then we had to add a bit of jaggery, because turmeric's very good for their embodiments. And then we give them lunch, and we give them a piece of fruit in the afternoon. But now, when we have 120 children, we found they're very hungry, so we give them oatmeal in the morning. But when you introduce one thing, you have to look at the whole 120 children mouths. It's a lot. So with funding, yeah, we just have faith. That's all you can have, faith and trust. Nothing else.
I think that's all you need to have also. At some point in time, you realize at the end of the day, it's all about faith and trust.
Uh-huh.
Now, since your humble beginnings, when you began with the thatched roof over your head, Mr. Srinivaslu, in 2004, your school has come a long way. It's a very beautiful, modern, ecologically sustainable, attractive learning area. And your computer lab, it just blew me off how beautifully designed it was, how fantastic the equipment, the hardware is, and the way it's laid out and the windows. If I was a child learning computers in that room, either I'd become the next computer genius or I'd keep looking out the window at the beautiful landscape because it's everything around it is so beautiful. So walk us through some of the milestones the school has come through.
Sheena started with a dream, and I think that's very important because Swami loves to fulfill his dreams, okay? That was in 2004, and we started in the village, and then with a friend of Sheena's, Shiva Baba, came and asked me to join this school, and I said, no, I've had enough with schools. But you don't say no to God. That's one thing I've learned. There's only yes, yes, yes. So I joined the school in 2006. And then with the environment, you had 35 at that time.
35 at that time.
In two small rooms and no playground, one toilet. I thought, this is just not
right. 5 years, we don't have any playground.
Mm.
No.
So I said, Sheena, we better go and look for some land. Because we're both from farming and we love land and all that. So he found this land, and then, of course, the devotees just keep coming, you know, at the right time. And so we bought the land. And we made the three rooms. So when the minute we made the three rooms on that land, we had 75 children. It just grew.
Build and they come.
Yes, yes. So we stayed with that. And then, of course, Victor, we love self-sustainable and showing example to other people. And so we thought, well, we have to build the funds. And Swami always says he will bring the devotees. So we just had that faith, and we did. We built the funds, and we did the coconut, 2009? So we did that, and then the funds came, and then the architect, and all this. So it all came together, and then the kids walked in that school. We had a function on Baba's birthday in 2012. That's it. School was open.
Big school.
And Baba gives you appreciation. You don't need appreciation, but he does a little thing to that. What he did with, so far, we got a beautiful picture of Baba in the dome. And he
has such a beautiful prayer hall, the dome-shaped.
Yeah, and he came with Amrita twice Oh. One time was splashing, so he's happy, and then the next time from the heart. So it just gave the teachers, all of us, to say he's happy. So if he's happy, we're happy, kids are happy, everyone's happy, happy, happy.
I know, it's a happy environment.
Yeah. Mm.
How many square feet of space do you have over total built up, including the first three rooms and then the new school?
Oh, well, the new school is 10,000 square feet. And I'm really not sure how much the smaller rooms are. And we have terraced gardens in the back because water used to run down there.
I noticed that.
And we've planted barley grass, we've planted basil, fruit trees. Everything we're trying to do is, when the fruit trees grow, like we've got passion fruit growing in trees, everything will produce fruit. And now we're, again, Swami's little magic. He brings these people in, and one man from France wanted to do some things, and so Gaia said he can design a rock garden and organic vegetable garden. And we want to grow food, so we don't have to buy food. And it's come to our attention, and some women from Bangalore, Indian women from Bangalore, came and said they would give us quite a good chunk of money if we bought another piece of land, which the farmer there, he never cleared the rocks or anything, so he's growing peanuts and not growing very well. So if we buy that land, we're going to plant grass, and then we're going to buy three cows or four cows to provide milk for the children, so we don't have to pay the prices here.
So our mission and our object is self-sustainable.
Completely.
Completely, you know. So,
your own power, your own food.
No power bill. Oh, wonderful.
Beautiful.
No gas, free gas.
Yeah.
And we have we'll grow the vegetables and for especially organic for the food for the children. And like Victor said about the cows, because Swami came in a dream, myself, and said, buy four Land Rovers. And you know how Baba, he says one thing and there's so many things you can look on it.
Land Rovers?
Yeah. And my girlfriend said, no, that's four cows. He just thought he'd just tell you four Land Rovers. So he wants a dairy there, and which produce milk, paneer, curd. So it's all coming, it's all giving, and it's like a circle of self-sustainability. You know, you give, and to Mother Earth, she comes back and gives you the vegetables, and it's a school, but it's education in that. And
very deep and profound. Just to know you're a dot in this whole cycle. Everything is cyclical, and you can depend on Earth and give her back respect, and she gives you back her bounty. So
yeah,
we are so interconnected.
Mm. Oh, wonderful. And another thing that Baba came in another, I love these visions, you know, and because Baba has no time, you know, we have the time. He wants us to work with the parents, or mainly the women of these children, because they're in the villages, they're very illiterate, and they don't have, like Victor said, they're unprivileged. Baba said unprivileged children. Now, unprivileged means in their circumstances, what circumstances they're in. So, of course, you know, we all know the story with alcohol and this and the whole thing. I don't want to go into all that, but he really wants us to help the women of these children too. To educate them, to empower them to be self-sufficient themselves. So that's part of the project somewhere. I don't know where.
So the impact is just extending into the family as well.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing, which it's probably a little wish of myself, is teachers from the world. I love where West meets East.
Mm-hmm.
And there's teachers over the world that have to do a certain part of their curriculum in another country. So I like to link up with these young teachers who are going to go out in the world and to be part of our school, to come along and teach for 6 months and see how we work, and then they can put, that's what I really like. And another thing I like to implement is for the children's minds and openness is doing a webcam. We have three sister schools in the world, one in Canada, Russia, and one in Australia. I like them to connect to each other and to children teach children. We can do so much, but when the children have this wonderful art of, you know, oh, well, I walk to school for four, you know, for 4 miles, what do you do? Oh, we catch, you know, we go in the car. So they learn. I feel that's a really big thing to open up the minds of the individual. So with our lovely computer room, and I must say with our computer room, how Barbara works, it's been there for sitting there empty for 8 months. And then all of a sudden, a friend of ours, husband died. And she said, when they had the funeral, the last rites and all that, instead of giving flowers, can you give some money to this school? So they raised this money, she sent it over, and that gave us all our computers.
Mm-hmm. How thoughtful of them.
It's very touching. Everything I found, people will give money to the school, it's all from their heart. It's all love money. And when it's not love, well, we say, well, go, we don't need it. And then Barbara comes along with these two experts from Dubai and put it all together. That's how he works.
In 3 days, they put all the computers in, hooked them together, and now today they're installing battery backup.
In a very beautiful circular computer lab.
Oh, you love that room, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I loved everything from its shape to the ceiling to the floor to the lovely tables, that circular tables that run around, wrap around tables. It's so beautifully done up.
And it's the tops of that have Laminex and triangles.
But even with that room.
And the way the electrical connections are done, everything is out of sight. They're very kid-friendly, children-friendly.
I know you were talking about children and the school, but the education. Martin has, in Bangalore, he has probably up to 10 students. So some of those students, when they need to do something for their education, they come to the school. And one of the girls designed the roof of that computer room.
Architect student of architecture.
Yes. So we're all helping each other in all different ways. And that's
very
what I
beautiful.
Love.
Mm. Now let's quickly talk about a typical day at the Sri Sai Prashanthi School.
Children is coming. We have a small bus. We're sending every day morning. We go and pick up. And evening time also we drop them. Morning 8 o'clock we start a small mini van. We go 1 kilometer from school. This side, 1/2 kilometer from the left side. Half an hour, we can collect all children. Evening also, 1/2 hour, we can drop everyone.
And this is again free of cost?
Free of cost.
And once the children arrive in the school, what's the day like?
Morning 8:30 to evening 4:30. Morning 8:30, some children, they're having breakfast at home, some children. Some children, they don't have, you know, poor children, they don't have at home lunch and breakfast. We're giving maybe 50, 40 like that children, we're giving breakfast. Milk we're giving everybody. And at 9 o'clock we get the teachers, all teachers coming, perfect 9 o'clock now. 15 minutes bhajan and prayer. After 9:30 to 11 o'clock, two periods. 11 to 11:15 break. After 1 o'clock, 12:30, we're giving lunch. 12:30 to 1:30, break, lunch break. 3 o'clock, we're giving bananas, guava, some fruits. 3:15 to 3:30, break time. After orals, we're mixing all children. We're doing oral, some general knowledge questions like that. 4:30, we have to finish school.
So how many academic periods do you have in a day?
Six periods. Yeah.
Wonderful, with four full-time teachers and yourself.
Yeah.
Excellent. Now, you're providing everything from nutritious meals to milk to 120 children,
yeah,
which is a lot, and breakfast, lunch, a fruit afternoon snack, excellent high-class education learning environment.
Yes.
How does all this work? I know you spoke about Baba sends money at the right time, but to sustain this, what is the long term? How do you fund it? How do you propose to keep it going?
Look, it's Baba's project.
Baba's project. Baba knows.
Yeah, we've...
I tell already, what we need, we don't know. Baba knows.
Okay, ahead of time.
Yeah.
So you have a supervisor up there who's taking care of everything.
I'm looking for a supervisor next year. because...
Ajahn Baba is the supervisor.
Yeah, but I'm hoping that Swami's going to send an embodiment next year because it's getting to a point where we've just created the website, we've got Facebook, we've got a lot of things, and like Shina knows, talking to people, sharing, he does the education part and all that. But I think Baba will send someone next year to, we're doing the foundation, you know, and then we just, he will send the right person. Because it's a big project, and we only got, like I said, we have to implement the garden, all those things. So it's a lot of management. And Shen is just with the children, education alone, let alone anyone who walks in. So if anyone walks in, there's public relations, there's PR. It's not just,
children. In our school, everyone working by heart. Mm-hmm. Teachers, cook, watchmen. Everyone working by heart.
So the involvement is very deep, obviously.
Yes, yes.
And you need to strengthen your team and make it grow and have more specialized roles for people who come in. Because right now I can see being a very young, nascent team, all of you are doing just about everything, but you need to specialize and have your own departments. Now, that being a challenge, plans going forward, more classrooms, Victor, on top?
Yes, we're hoping to have more classrooms on top, and like I mentioned, we're planning to have solar water pump and phase out the grid power. And as we get more children, as you mentioned, it costs more per month to run it. But it's been like the story guy I told you about the woman sending the flower money here. Well, that was a lot of money that she sent.
And imagine what a good thought it was. If they had got all those many flowers, the next day they would have withered and gone into recycling or composting. And here, the real flowers are blooming in the minds of the children who are learning computer skills for life.
For life.
And
it's good. It's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
People from 9 countries. Because I speak Russian, we meet a lot of Russian people. And we have Russian people that, we have this one couple that he's a locksmith and his wife sells doors. And each year around June, they come here and they bring us $2,000-$3,000. You know, and when they were at our home with the first year, they've done this for 3 years now. The first year they were there, when everybody left, they said, "Oh, you talked about the school, but nobody's left any money here." And they gave us $1,000. Then they came back 4 or 5 days later, brought us another $1,000. This year they came and brought us money. And I kind of almost feel bad because he's a locksmith and she sells doors. And we just had a woman here.
I think at the end of the day, you need a large heart, not a large income to participate.
Yeah, you're
exactly.
Right. And, but the people that send $100 or $200 a month, electronically, they have to pay $30 to the bank just to send $100. Mm-hmm. So we have been organizing people in different countries that they can call for information, they can send the money there, and then it costs $30 whether you send $100 or $5,000. Yeah.
Like you, I think we discussed before with fundraising, a lot of money goes elsewhere, not to a project.
In other organizations.
In other organizations, you know, and being in Australia and we had a discussion before we started today, this project, we guarantee 100% of the donation money goes to the project.
No admin cost.
No admin costs. Hmm. And it's been, and people were fascinated and said, "How did it grow so quick?" And I make that statement. Nothing in the pocket, it goes to the project. And that's another teaching of Barbara's. You know, everything you say is, you know, when the guys come along and say, "Oh, nice bricks." I said, "It's only 5% cement." And they just can't understand it. So it's constantly educating the public, the people, but the fundraising, and a lot of people love to, Swami always says, give and serve. But as you know, that you get tarnished along the way because you know your money might be going there, might be going here, and it's not just India, it's worldwide. You know, we just call it a different thing. But I think over the time I have spent there, it's like it's building up trust in these people to give again. And because a lot of people lost trust in sharing. Mm-hmm. And now the building's there, they say, oh, they're doing it. They're making the action. And that's important. You can say you can do a lot of things, but it's the action.
Actions speak way louder than words, and you know the results are there for everyone to see. Now, this is fantastic information you have given our listeners. If they want to learn more about the school or learn how they can participate, there might be educators out there who may want to connect, as you said, long distance, exchange ideas, or people who want to learn more about Sri Sai Prashanthi School. How can they get more information?
Well, we, you know how technology is. I've got a little bit of creative. And we had a lovely Russian man who created our website for us, and which is www.sspsindia. Then used Facebook. We have a Facebook for the school because it's so good to load up pictures very quickly and the school changes very quickly. And we have an email address. So it's Sri Sai Prashanthi School at yahoo.india.
Mm-hmm. So the website is sspsin. sspsin, and it stands for Sri Sai Prashanthi School.in for India.
Great. Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a contact button there that they can go to.
There's
and
everything.
Reach.
Yes.
Any final thoughts?
Thank you for having
me.
It's
wonderful to share Barbara's dream to the world now because you came to us. We knew Basai Radio. You just have to wait for the perfect timing. So when a friend told you about the school, you came, you shared, you looked and all that, and here we are now to share it to the world.
Yeah, I like to check out any place that is suggested to me myself before I work on it. And I had heard a lot about the school, but I wanted to pay a visit and check it out for myself. And everything from those pillars made of ram dirt to the attitude of the staff to the way the washrooms are spotlessly clean. I love the windows of the classrooms. They have these very incredible grills with the five human values all written inside them. So I've never seen a prettier grilled window with abacuses inside them.
Yeah.
So children can play along the grills of the windows with the abacus and learn some math and values. Everything in that school speaks of its mission statement. It's been great having you all on
yes,
the show.
Yeah.
Mr. Srinivaslu, Victor Baba and Gaya Star, thank you very much for joining us on Radio Sai.
Thank you, Sairam.
Sairam.
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome back to Morning Glory, coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India. Today is the 19th of September and the time in the ashram right now is 10:39 a.m. I do hope you enjoyed this episode of Spotlight PN, wherein you heard from the team at the Sri Sai Prashanthi School. From time to time on Morning Glory, we attempt to bring you success stories that are rooted in Bhagwan's love for humanity, and these include the various Sai institutions in the Valley of Puttaparthi, such as Baba's schools, the Sai University, colleges, hospitals, museums, as well as some Sai-inspired non-governmental organizations or NGOs that are performing useful social service here. The Sri Sai Prashanthi School is one of those social uplift initiatives that is a direct outcome of Bhagwan Baba's guidance and inspiration. As a matter of fact, it was, I think, about a year ago when several members of Team Radio Sai visited the school and told me some exciting stories about it. But I waited to ensure that this unbelievable, almost unbelievable altruism was A, for real, and B, sustainable beyond a few months of hoopla and excitement. And fortnight ago, Spotlight PN gladly turned its attention to Sri Sai Prashanthi School at Karnataka Nagapalli, a model institution that is serving a needy community with its heart and soul and absolutely free of cost. And as described earlier, you can learn more about this amazing initiative at the school's website, sspn.in. And at Radio Sai, we always look forward to your feedback. What are your thoughts on this school, its vision and inspiration? Do you think this model can be replicated? please email us at listener@radiosci.org. Now moving along, it is time for Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, our popular series of conversations with the alumni of Sci schools and colleges. Dear brothers and sisters, have you noticed the tall young priest who offers Mangal Arati to Bhagwan in the Mandir twice daily? Who is this person and what earned him this privilege, you might wonder. A few weeks ago, I had the honor of sitting across from one of my brothers here at Radio Sci. Again, he's one of my baby brothers, as he's so young. And as I sat listening to my guest/colleague, I couldn't help but think that he truly is destiny's child. His birth, his experiences, everything in his life so far pointed to the very important responsibility that he was destined to shoulder. Well, wait no more. I'm delighted to play for you part one of this brand new in-house Fleeting Moments interview. My guest is my colleague, Brother Satyanarayan Babu, who is lovingly referred to by his nickname Priest or Pujari at the Radio Sci offices. Pujari's simplicity, spunk and innocence are really touching. I hope you will enjoy listening to him as much as I did.
Sairam, dear listeners, welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, Radio Sci's popular series of conversations with the former students of Baba's schools and colleges. Today, I'm delighted to bring you yet another episode of an in-house Fleeting Moments interview. My guest is a member of the Radio Sci team. Now, how shall I begin to introduce him? This young brother of mine is a person of many talents. He reminds me of Spider-Man, who is Peter Parker the journalist by day and superhero by night. For a young person, he has lived a very interesting life day and night, and shortly you will know why I say so. R. Satyanarayan Babu, popularly known as Satya in the Radio Sci circles, is a Bal Vikas graduate from Tanjore, Tamil Nadu. He attended the Sri Satya Sai Mirpuri College of Music from 2003 to 2005. Member of the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization of Tamil Nadu, he has been the District Youth Coordinator for Tanjore and Tiruvarur. This young man is also a member of the Disaster Management Team of Tamil Nadu and a trained faculty and trainee of the program. Now, what might such a busybody be doing in Prashanthi Nilayam, you wonder? Plenty of things, I believe. For starters, he works as an editor in the video division of Radio Sci. He also acts as a photographer as and when needed. But that is just a part of his eclectic job profile. Anyone who has ever attended the Prashanthi Nilayam bhajans in person or participated in the aarti via our webcast would have seen Satya. He is the young tall priest who is privileged to offer the Mangal aarti to Bhagwan Baba daily at the close of the bhajans. He also conducts pujas inside the prayer hall where the Atirudram Lingam and other sacred idols are worshipped. One minute, he is in his white trouser and shirt editing a video on a sophisticated machine in the studio, and the very next minute you can find him in his priestly garb of cream-colored dhoti and shawl, waving the sacred flame by the Mahasamadhi. Now you get my Peter Parker Spider-Man analogy? With that introduction, I am pleased to welcome my colleague and my brother, Mr. Satyanarayan Babu, to this interview. Sairam Brother Satya, and welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories.
Sairam Didi, I'm very happy to be here.
And we are feeling very blessed to have you as our officiating priest in the mandir. I think you bring extra blessings to the studio. So it's very good to have you on the other side of the table.
Thank you, Didi.
Now, you had a very unusual journey as a Sci student. You didn't follow the usual path of, you know, joining the higher secondary school or the primary school. Instead, after your grade 7, you joined the music college.
Yes.
How did that come about?
It all started from my first standard application to the primary school.
Okay.
My father, when I born, he decided that I should study in Swami's institution and I should grow up as Swami's child. So in my childhood itself, they have given me to Swami.
Oh.
So they told, you are Swami's child, like that.
Oh, wow.
So we put application. My mother doesn't want me to leave to the long distance from Parthi to, you know, from Tanjavur to Parthi. So she can't meet me, that, you know, that love
that
and
anxiety,
compassion. Yeah.
The separation anxiety.
Really.
All moms have that.
Yeah. So I did not get that final card, selection card.
Oh.
So later it became, my father was trying, somehow I have to push this fellow into the Swami's institution. So that after 7th, we came to know that music college, Swami has opened a music college, and for foundation we can apply immediately after 7th. So immediately after 7th, I applied in music college. With God's grace, I got for foundation, Veena. I took Veena because we are actually traditionally musical family. My great-grandfather, they used to perform Veena programs in palace.
So the royal palace, royal musician.
Yeah. And we are actually two types of family. One is minister family and...
Minister, you mean like politics or mandir, temple minister?
No. My great-grandfather was minister for Chhatrapati Shivaji.
Oh, wow.
One of the minister. That's how we shifted to Tamil Nadu from Andhra.
Very interesting family history.
Yeah. So because they play Veena, I took Veena as my main instrument and I joined in music college in 2003.
What was the experience like? You were here for two beautiful years.
Yeah. Actually, when I joined here, my intention was to speak with Swami.
Okay.
Because my parents, they have spoken to Swami. My father has spoken twice. My mother has spoken once. My sister has spoken once. I never spoken with Swami. So I used to feel jay whenever I see them that they've spoken to Swami. So when I joined here, Swami was in Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
2003, he had a
fracture.
Hip fracture.
Yeah.
And August 8th, he came to Parthi. That was the first darshan as a student I got. I was crying, I could not see Swami. Even now, when I think of that moment, Swami was coming in a car through the Gopuram gate and Nadaswaram, Panchavadyam, boys are singing on side, bhajan songs are going on, Vedam was going on. Swami came, got down, and slowly he is walking with the support of one brother. So that was the first darshan as a student I got. After that, I wanted to speak to Swami. Somehow I tried my level best, but I could not go near Swami.
Can I interrupt here, Satya?
Yes.
I just want to remind you, it's 10 years and 3 days since your first darshan that we are recording this interview. August 8th, you said, right?
Yeah.
And it was 2003. And today is August 11th, 2013.
Oh, my God.
So it's just your 10th anniversary of beholding Bhagwan as a student.
Yeah, true, Didi. Thank
so, you know, despite all your reluctance to come to this interview, even today you were trying to ask me what time, where. I think it was willed by somebody higher than both of us.
True, really true.
So please continue.
Yeah. Then I got... Actually, I had a small... some wound kind of thing in my hand.
Okay.
For past some 4-5 years.
How did you get that wound?
It's actually not exactly wound. It's actually dead cells.
Okay.
And it will be like bulging. Okay. Out of the skin, out of proportion. And even if I cut, I won't feel
any pain as dead cells, yeah.
But it will be keep growing. I can't use my right hand for having food or writing or anything.
Oh.
So we tried for many medication, but it was not curing. So I asked warden permission and I took special seat and sat in first row with a letter. One day Swami called me, took letter, and the first word in my life Swami spoke was, start early, drive slowly, reach safely. Not once, but thrice, he told.
Very that important was, message.
Yeah. That was the first message Swami spoke in my life. Then Swami asked me, Emaindi? I told Swami...
What happened?
Huh? I told Swami, in Telugu, conversation was going on in Telugu. I told Swami, there is some problem, I don't know what is this, Swami. It's keep on growing. Swami told, you are growing so tall, why can't you leave that to grow for some days? I don't know what to answer. He smiled and he tapped in my cheeks and he created a vibhuti, put on my forehead and he told, have this. I was very happy, very excited. Oh my God, I got vibhuti from Swami. So then came to hostel. I had only half portion of the vibhuti. Rest of the half I mixed into normal vibhuti, which I use every day to keep. Because I thought, I don't know whether I can get a chance to speak with Swami or I'll get vibhuti. So I did that. After some 2-3 days, I am waiting, nothing happened. There is no change in that dead cells from my hand, in my hand. So it was going on for 2 months. Again I took warden permission and went to Swami. Swami told, I told you to eat vibhuti, did you eat? I told, yes Swami. He told, no, you did not eat. I told, no Swami, I ate. Swami told, then what about the vibhuti which is there in your cupboard? I could not realize. Swami told, you mix that vibhuti which I gave with other vibhuti. Eat all the vibhuti, it will go off. I came to hostel, I had all the vibhutis. Within 3 days, it all fell down.
Wow.
That was the first miracle in my life.
That must have really strengthened your faith. You were a young boy at that time.
Yeah, I was some 13 years old.
Teenager, just starting a journey.
Yeah.
So what was the 2 years, what else happened that you have fond memories of your music college days?
Yeah, after that, actually those days music college had a separate block in Mandir, where at present Vedam Group is sitting.
Oh, there very are, prime real estate.
Yeah, music college means we used to sit there. So those time, whenever I hold letter, Swami used to collect. So future it became, I don't know what to write. So I'll write, Swami, how are you? Just in full A4 sheet, I'll write, Swami, how are you? Thank you, with love, something, so-and-so, so yeah, Satya, like that I'll write. So, Swami, I had this food. Thank you, Swami, for accepting my letter, like that. So later, after some 6 months, slowly Swami started speaking with me. He used to ask, what's your name? I'll tell, Satya Narayana Babu. Ekkadi nunchi vachesavu?
Where did you come from?
I'll tell, Swami from Tanjavur. Okay, elli kocho, go and sit. For so many days this was going on. Later one day he called me like this and he asked me again, what's your name? I told Swami Satyanarayana Babu. He told no. It was silent again. I told Swami Satyanarayana Babu. He told no. Satyanarayana Bab.
Bab.
Bab. And he spelled B-A-B. He told Illi, go and sit. I don't know for what he told. Okay, went off. Later after some days, one day my grandfather, he's a big artist, drawing artist. So, my music college old principal, he was searching for one Tyagaraja pic. So, I told...
Picture.
I told my grandfather used to draw well, and there is a photo which he draw, Tyagaraja photo, and it is fresh and new, we'll get it. He told, yeah, please get it. So, somehow we got that, and he told, you go for blessings and get signature from, get autograph from Swami. I came to Swami, he saw the pic, he called me, and normally he signs with love Baba, but that day he wrote with Baba. I was wondering, with Baba, there is no love. So I thought, okay, Tyagaraja is with Baba, because Swami is Rama. He was staring at me, he did not smile anything. Then I thought, okay, my grandfather is with Baba. Then he smiled at me. Then I thought in my mind, but what about love? Swami, no love for me from you. On top of that, with Baba, he wrote love and he smiled.
Oh, he wrote it again the second time?
Yeah,
oh.
Second time he wrote only the love. It was just some few minutes of conversation with me and Swami. But I did not speak much. Swami did not speak much.
He was just reading your thoughts and responding.
That time, and finally, he told Elli Kucho Bob. Go and sit, Bob. I was wondering again why Swami called me Bob. So, after a few days, again, once again, I took one more photo for sign to ask Swami, why did you call me Bob? In that photo, he signed Love and Blessings, Bob. Again, I don't know, Swami, why? Swami told Elli Kucho. So I don't know how to ask. I was
go sit down.
Go sit down. I was a bit nervous to ask again. So everything was going on. And sports meet came. 2004 sports meet came. So one day after the sports meet practice, around 4:30, darshan was going on. So around 4:30, I thought after so many days, let me go for darshan. Because during sports meet, we can't come for darshan. That time only we'll be having our slot. So that day, fortunately, our slot got over. So I came for darshan. I sat back. But when I came, Swami was in interview room. By the time Swami come out, there was some discussion in the students group, and some students went in the front row. So along with that boys, I also went, somehow jumped and went to the first row. I was sitting first. Swami came. There was some program that day. After the program, Swami told to give watches for the performance. The people who performed, boys who performed. So Swami gave watches. Then Swami told, get all the watches. Sorry, it was not watch, it was pin.
Pen.
It was
okay.
Pin.
Okay.
And Swami told, get all the pin. So they got pin. And Swami told, we'll give for all the boys. And call the boys, I'll give from my hand. I'll give the boys personally like that. So the third person was me. I went to Swami. I didn't take the pen. He was holding the pen. I asked Swami, why did you call me Bob? He smiled at me. Boy who is sitting behind Swami, he told, take the pen and go. So many boys are waiting back. I did not hear them. Again asked Swami, why did you call me Bob? Swami just tapped on my cheeks and he told, just for fun. In Tamil he told, chumma kete.
Oh, so sweet and endearing.
So then he told, padanamskaram tesko, take padanamskara. So I took padanamskaram. He told, baga tesko.
Take nicely, take properly. Nicely. Oh my God.
Again I took. He told, baga tesko, third time. So I just fell down on his feet. Like put my head down and fully. Then I took pen. Again he tapped on my cheeks.
So such sense of closeness and friendship. To say he just did it for fun, so beautiful.
Yeah. So like this day was going on. Next year came, second year came. No, the same year, 2004. One day, just a few days before Shivaratri, for morning darshan, during morning darshan, Sunday I think, Swami called me. And as usual, he took letter and he told, evening I'll speak with you. I told, okay, fine. I don't know whether I'll get chance. Anyway, he told, fine. Evening I came. Swami went to the podium. He sat there. And he called me. I was not holding any letter or anything. Swami just called me. And he asked, do you do Sandhya Vandanam every day? I told, yes, Swami, I do.
With your secret thread, chanting the Gayatri.
Yes.
Yeah.
He told, don't lie. I told, I'm not lying. And he told, I'll ask your warden. He told, please ask. I'm not lying, Swami. I mean, with humble, I'm telling. Please ask, Swami, I'm not lying, Swami. Swami told, good boy, why should I ask warden? I know that you are doing. Again, Swami told, I was just playing with you.
Mm-hmm.
I told, okay, Swami. Then he asked, do you like me? I told, yes, Swami. He asked, why do you like me? I told, I don't know, but I like you. Again that day he tapped on my cheeks and he told, fine. From tomorrow onwards, where you are sitting, sit in the same place for every day.
And which was some nice spot?
It was second row, just opposite to Swami.
Oh, you got a real vantage spot. Eh?
Yeah, so every day I used to sit in second row. Shivaratri morning, after some day Shivaratri came. So for Shivaratri, all the campus boys used to come here, right? So that day there was some other campus boys came. So I thought, anyway, every day I'm sitting in second row, let me give some chance for other boys. So I went back, like some fifth or sixth row. Morning program got over, Aarti over, Swami moving towards his car. He stood near that Ganesha, which is to be in the middle, and he called me. I went, Swami was very angry. And he told, where are you sitting? I told, Swami, there only. I told, Swami, there only. Swami told, no, you are not sitting where I told.
You had moved back three rows.
Yeah. I gave excuse, like saying, Swami, other boys came, I gave chance. He told, who are you to give chance for other boys? I was shaking, legs are shaking, I don't know what to tell. Swami, I am sorry, Swami. He told, follow my words. If you don't follow, get out from here.
Wow, so strict, huh?
He didn't speak in English. That day he spoke in Tamil, actually. Uh-huh. I was so scared, I don't know what to do. He smiled and he told, don't worry, go and sit. I went sat. From that day, whoever asks, I won't leave. I'll sit in that second row. March 15th came. The same second row I was sitting. It was evening around 4:45 something. Swami mark my mole, which is below my lips, and he called. And I don't know, Swami is calling me. I was turning around here and there. Again, he showed that.
He pointed to your mole,
yeah,
on mole, the chin.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And again, he called me. I did not get up. Boys told, Swami is calling you only. Swami is looking at you. So, after a few seconds, I went to Swami. He asked, how are you? I told, fine, Swami. Are you sitting in the same place? I told, yes, Swami, I am sitting. Good boy. He told, sit. So, I thought, okay, I should go and sit back. Somebody told, no, ikkane kucho.
Oh, near him, right
near
there.
Him.
You sat on the other side of the railing, but right in front of Bhagwan?
Yes, right in front of Bhagwan. Swami told, sit. So, there used to be small, small steps.
Yeah.
So, I just sat there, holding my hands, praying. After a few seconds, Swami called me. What's your name? I told, Satyanarayana Babu. No, Satyanarayana Babu.
He's really playing with you.
Yeah, I don't know what to do. I told, okay, Satyanarayana Babu. He smiled. He told, sit. I sat. Again, few seconds. He told, are you doing Sandhyavandanam? I told, yes, Swami, doing. Okay, sit. Again, he told me, get up. And he asked me, do you like me? I told, yes, Swami. But this time, the way he asked, it was so serious. And I could feel something very strongly he is asking. Second time he repeated, do you like me? I told, yes, Swami. Why do you like me? I told, I don't know why I like you. Who is God? Yes. You are God. Why do you believe me that I am God? I told, I don't know, Swami, I can't answer your question. But I like you. I love you so much. I feel you are the God. He was very happy. He waved his hand. And I saw Vibhuti coming from his hand. Because I am sitting little
lower.
Yeah. So I showed my hands. Swami told, no, show your neck. I thought, okay, something happened to my neck and he is going to put Vibhuti. My thoughts now, it's so wavering. And Swami told, smile, and he just opened his arms. I mean, just
palms.
And chain came.
Oh.
I didn't do anything. Just it was a conversation. And chain came. In that chain, it was full of Vibhuti. And one side, Swami face was there.
Oh, in the pendant.
In the pendant. And the back side of the pendant, Om was there. Swami showed that pendant to me and he asked, who is this? I told, you. What is his name? I told, Sai Baba. He told, good. He turned the pendant and he asked, what is this? I told, Om. He told, no, it has no end. This is Omkaram. And there was some scratches on Omkaram. And he told, careful. He showed the scratches and he told, careful. Marked out the scratches and he told, careful. I don't know. Then he put one knot on the chain and he tried to open that
lock,
but it was not coming. And he put, your head is small only, it will go off. And he put. Then that day he told, from tomorrow come for morning darshan. So next day morning I came for darshan. August 16th morning I came for darshan. 2004. Swami asked, where is your parents? I told, they are in my home. Told, call them to Parthi. I'll give you interview. So, he told, that day evening, March 16, 2004 evening, he told he will give interview with my parents. But my parents are in Thanjavur. It will take 16 hours for coming
for them to travel.
Yeah. So, I told, okay. And I informed my parents. Somehow they reached Parthi. But they reached late night. Next day morning, Swami asked, where is your parents? I told, they have come. Chala manchidi.
Very good.
15 days over. March 31st, Swami left Parthi to Vrindavan.
No interview.
After that, Swami did not speak to me. My parents are also waiting here. They thought that I am lying and they got very angry on me. Because 15 days, they left job, everything, they came here. So they was very angry on me. But March 31st, we went to home. When we went to home, there was something strange happened. One of our relations, they did black magic for my mother and dad. to kill them.
Hmm.
When we went that time, only we came to know that. When they fixed the date, on that day they supposed to die with an accident.
Oh, but they were in Parthi. Swami had called them over.
Swami called them in to Parthi.
How did you find all this out?
It was big story.
Oh, I see. So there was some family rivalry or something?
Yeah, something
oh
like that.
Oh, my God. So Swami actually protected them from the death that could have been caused by this horrible black magic stuff?
Black magic stuff.
Oh, my God.
And this black magic did not stop here. It continued. And so for this black magic part, I'll come later.
Okay.
I'll continue my schooling, college days. Again, I came back to...
So then once mom and dad got home, they were not as upset with you as they were initially. They realized there was a meaning to all this.
Yes, they were happy.
Okay.
And again, second year foundation, I came back to Parthi. There was no more conversation between me and Swami. Now there is no second row for me sitting.
Oh.
It's just normal going on. I stopped writing letters also. Sports meet came. During sports meet, I had a terrible leg injury. Actually, my right leg bone got dislocated. I was in gymnastic.
So, doing a stunt.
Yeah, doing a stunt. I fell down and my leg bone got dislocated. Doctor told me that I should not move anywhere. I was in a chair, wheelchair, in my room. So, I thought, okay, till this get cures, I can't go for darshan. I'll be missing Swami. But you don't believe, Didi, and every day, evening, Swami used to come to hostel. He won't come inside the hostel. He will come, there used to be one Ganesha outside the hostel.
It still is there, in the circle,
one Ganesha.
Yeah.
Swami will come, he will take one round of that Ganesha and he will go back.
Oh my God. In the car?
In the car.
So from the window you could have a darshan?
Boys, when they go for darshan, they will make me sit on the corridor.
Oh, so you were in the lobby?
In the lobby. So every day I'll get the Swami's darshan.
Sitting where you were, huh?
Yeah.
In the hostel.
I was so happy. And doctors told that I can't perform, I can't join in sports meet activity. But I wish to join. I thought, Swami, I can't miss this. I love sports and all. My leg, this bone dislocation also, doctor told it will take some few months, like 6 or 7 months to cure.
That's incredible. That defies all medical laws.
2 months.
He didn't talk to you, just gave you darshan every day.
Every day he'll get his darshan. No vibhuti, no talking, nothing.
That was enough to cure you.
Yeah.
And you took part in the gym. What did you do?
I was in carabining.
Mm-hmm.
I used to fly from just below the Hanuman to cricket stadium.
Okay.
In a rope. So it was nice stunt. Then later, slowly, Swami started speaking with me. Same, asking how are you, how is your parents. Later he started asking how is your parents, how is your sister. So my year got over. I didn't get diploma.
Why?
I didn't pass in interview actually.
Okay.
I didn't pass an interview, I didn't get.
So you finished 2 years without a diploma?
Yeah.
Did it make you sad?
Yeah, little bit.
Mm.
So I went back to home. I was crying a lot. So again, June month I came back to... That time Swami was in Bangalore, Whitefield. I came to Whitefield. I thought till I get diploma, I will not go from Swami. So one day... Then... From there, Swami moved to Parthi. I came to Parthi. I stayed here for 6 months. Swami did not speak. So I joined in bhajan group. I used to play Ganjira every day morning bhajans. Swami did not speak. Then people who were around me, they told, you can't wait without any degree. It doesn't make sense. So that too, you are a small
You were very
boy.
Young. You were a teenager,
yeah,
15.
Teenage. He told, don't waste your life. So go and study. I went back to my home, started studying.
So you're back home now. 2 years in Parthi, no diploma. A little bit sad. What happened next?
Not a little bit, more sad.
More than a little bit sad.
Because my father was very angry that I didn't get diploma. And even he told, I think you did some mistake, that's why you didn't get diploma. He thought of sending me out of the home.
Oh, wow.
He was so, Then later, when I came to home, I got to know that Swami used to come to our home and speak with us.
After you went home, this started?
No, it started before. But my parents did not tell me.
So Swami would physically appear in your home?
No, not physically. But we can hear his voice and we can feel that he came into our home. When, of course, he is there everywhere. But sometimes we'll feel, he'll give some intimation that he is sitting in the chair.
Okay.
They brought the new chair for Swami. So whenever he sits in the chair, he will push the handkerchief down. If we put some food, only half of the food will be there. Rest of the food will be
eaten.
And some coffee, only half glass will be there. Water, whatever. Before my mom feed us, she will put for Swami first. So it will be half. Then we will take as a prasadam. Swami used to speak. We used to reply for that. We used to hear his voice. So it was happening for quite a long time.
So what language did he speak in?
In our home, he speaks in Tamil.
Okay. And what kind of stuff did he say? Any instructions, any advice?
Yes, actually, when this thing started, my father did not believe. Because in our custom, Swami, in Parthi, Swami is there. If you want anything, Swami will put flower or vibhuti, or if we put some cheat, answer will come. But my father thought, like that only my father was doing everything. Suddenly strange that Swami is speaking and all, he thought this is also some kind of black magic.
Oh, I see.
So, but Swami made my father believe. So in our home, without my father telling, we won't do anything. If our father don't believe in anything, we don't believe. If my father tells don't do, we all four of us. Like that. So slowly my father started believing, then my mother started believing. My sister also came to know that, but they did not tell me because I'm a small, I'll get scared. So they did not tell. Swami told them itsams. Why Swami came them? Swami came to home. Itsams, our relations and some people have done so much bad, they have sent so much bad vibration to our home and so many different kinds of black magic to kill four of us. And grab all the money from us.
Like ancestral property and stuff?
No, there is no ancestral property. We are very happy in our home.
Okay.
So they don't like...
Oh, I see.
...to keep us happy. They don't like that we are happy.
Okay.
Because of Swami only we were happy. So they thought... They did so much itsams. So Swami told, I came to protect you. Because that day when my father came into Sri Satya Sai organization, till now he is very active. He gives first preference only for Swami. If anything happens, even a death happens in home, if any Swami's work is there, he'll give first preference for work, then only death. Swami takes, Swami. My father tells, if I do Swami work, Swami is taking care of me. The same thing happened. We saw ourselves in our home. So when I went to home, Swami was sitting. And I don't know that Swami is sitting. I just went through the bag like that. Swami gave chop one in my...
You got a nice slap?
I got a nice slap. You came from Parthi, you should behave like my student. How can
So invisible hand gave
invisible,
you a slap.
Yeah.
And then you hear only a disembodied voice.
Yeah. Saying,
did you get scared?
I got scared.
What did Swami say? So this is how you behave, you just toss your bag off?
Yeah, you are from Parthi, you are an ex-student, and how can you do this? Many people will be watching you and they should follow your footsteps. How can you do this? Then later they will blame me. Swami is telling that later they will blame me that, see, boy came from Swami's institution and he is still like this. So then only my parents explained that these things are going on in our homes. Not only Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba, also many deities used to come to our home and they used to talk with us. They used to guide us what to do. And Swami has also sent one Holy Spirit. One lady who passed away, she was very devoted to Swami. That lady also used to stay in our home. And they used to take care of us.
In their spirit form, these deities,
yeah,
and gods and goddesses and the old lady.
Everything in spirit form.
It spooky to have all these spirits around you?
We got used to that. So
they became part of your environment?
Yeah. Actually, later we started missing them so much.
After they left?
After they left.
So they were being sent, obviously, for your protection against these relatives.
Yeah. That time...
Can you share some details, what kind of things they told you to do to protect yourself?
Yeah. First thing they told that in my family, I am the most important person in our whole heredity.
Lineage.
Lineage. The reason, there were so many person in our family, they have ruled the places, they have created many things for the world, they have did many good things for the world. All the spirit together, I born it sums.
Oh, I see.
So
I can now connect the dots. You also have the privilege of performing aarti in the mandir. So you must have accumulated a lot of good karma from all these good deeds that your ancestors
maybe.
Did. You're benefiting from all that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So some people came to know that and they want to kill me.
Wow.
They want to kill my dad, mom and sister. And for that, they used to keep doing black magic. They used to keep doing lots of black magic. From my childhood, they were doing it, sums. But Swami was protecting. We don't know that Swami... I mean, of course, Swami is protecting. Physically, we don't know that Swami is protecting. Later, when Swami came to our home, he used to insist that we should put vibhuti whenever we go out of the home. That vibhuti will protect you.
So on your forehead, you used to apply vibhuti.
Vibhuti. And he will insist that in home, early morning, they used to put rangoli out of the home, just in front of the home. Swami insists that rangoli should be straight of the, the pathway is there, na?
Hmm.
It should be center of the pathway and it should not be cross here and there. It should exactly face the house.
Okay.
And before having food, we should chant Brahma Arpanam. And once in a day, at least, one session, we should all of us together sit and tell Brahma Arpanam and have food. Because we all will be running here and there, work, job.
Everybody eats at a different time.
Different times. But
one meal together.
One meal together.
With Brahma Arpanam.
So we took breakfast and dinner together. And he makes sure that we go for bhajan, Nagar Sangirtanam. Especially Nagar Sangirtanam. That too for me, na. From my childhood, I don't know why, Swami makes sure that I attend all the Nagar Sangirtan. Even few days, I don't like to go to Nagar Sangirtan because I can't sleep. I love to sleep a lot. Even today, I love to sleep a lot. But my father, he will take me to Nagar Sangirtan. After Swami came to our home, that is later when Swami came as a spirit form, he makes sure that we go for Nagar Sangirtan. One day it so happened, my mother and dad, I was out of station. My mother and dad, they slept long. They could not get up in time. Because previous night they had some work. So, at 5 o'clock Nagar Sangirtan starts. 4:30, 4:45, they did not get up. They heard sound that somebody is fighting. Two cats are fighting a lot. And it was throwing the vessels in the kitchen and pushing everything. My father got scared and got up. When he ran into the kitchen, he saw two rats. After he saw the rats, two cats. He saw those two cats. When he saw the two cats, by the time it got vanished.
Oh, they sort of dematerialized? Disappeared?
Disappeared.
Then they didn't run out.
They didn't run out. He didn't see that.
You mean that was all staged to wake him up?
Yeah, wake him up. Then later Swami told, to wake you only I did this.
Oh.
Yeah. So, someday Swami used to tell us, today you don't go outside, stay in home. But I don't listen, I'll go outside, I'll get some hurt, I'll fall from bike something and I'll come back. And he used to scold literally, he used to slap. I got so many slaps from him. Later he will feed sweets. And some sweets
so
or something.
First he was a stern disciplinarian, but for your own good, because every time you disobeyed him, I understand you landed in trouble.
Yeah, but in my family, in four of us, Swami used to like me a lot. I don't know why. Later he told me to join in Shirdi Baba temple. There was one Shirdi Baba temple just next street from my home. And that priest went. There was no one to do puja. So those trustees were asking my father, can you tell your son to do for a few days? And meanwhile, we'll get a good priest. So I joined there. Swami told you, stay there, don't
you
come.
You must have been a young teenager.
Yeah, teenage. And it was a small temple. There was only one sannidhi, and it was that Shirdi Baba has a very good experience, not experience, what to tell them? Story. That Shirdi Baba temple has a story behind the screen. 60 years back, in Tanjavur railway station, there was a box. And it was lying for more than some 5-6 years. So finally, government has decided to give it to someone. That time, the station master had bought that box. After opening the box, he came to know that is Shirdi Baba idol.
Oh.
So he kept in his place, his land, and he went. Later, slowly, devotees started coming. And now that Shirdi Baba temple is awesome. It's a big temple. Some 3,000, 4,000 devotees are coming. Even if we calculate the years, before installing the idol in Shirdi, this idol had come to Tanjavur.
It
is so early. And nobody knows who made this.
So is it a big marble statue? Oops.
Okay. Yeah, it's a marble statue. It's 4.5 feet marble statue. It's white marble.
Nobody knows the source, sender, nothing.
No, so nobody
it's
knows.
Almost like a swayambhu, like a self-manifested Shirdi Baba. Okay, so as a teenager, you go from here, and after all these incredible mystical experiences of having an invisible Swami guide you day to day, you ended up being a priest.
Yes.
Did you know what to do in the temple?
I know little something like we should pour water so that he will get cleaned. It's called Abhishekam.
Yeah.
And show Agarbatti and feed him some food, give aarti. I know little mantras because, of course, in our institution every day we used to learn Vedam.
Yeah, so Parthi, you knew
Parthi,
the Vedam.
Yeah, through Parthi I came to know Vedam. So I started doing puja. Slowly I read some books and I learned how to do homam, everything. Days were going on. After I joined on Saturday. No, Friday. I joined on Friday. And every Sunday and Tuesday, there will be a Shirdi Baba Aarti. That half an hour Aarti will be there. So, Sunday was the first Aarti for me. I was doing the Aarti. I did the Archana, everything. After the Archana, I am lighting the Agarbatti. I smelled smoking, that utka, they tell, Shirdi Baba.
Wood, take. Yeah, like wood smoke.
Yeah, wood smoke. So normally they tell Shirdi Baba will take that something.
A chillam,
yeah. So I started smelling that. I turn around, nobody is there, that is temple. So, but Agarbatti was in my hand. I supposed to get Agarbatti smell. I didn't get. So, okay, I left it, okay, something. I did aarti, everything over. I went to home. Swami told, did you smell? I told, yes, Swami. I only did. Didn't you realize? I told, oh, no, Swami. To show you that I am there in that idol. It's not a marble idol. I am there. Physically, I am sitting there. You should realize when you do that puja. I told, okay, Swami.
So powerful.
Yeah. So later, Sankadahara Chaturthi came. Fourth day from full moon day. So, Sankadahara Chaturthi is an auspicious day for Vinayaka, and there will be Abhishekam, Puja, everything. When I was doing the Puja, end of the Puja, when I gave Aarti, that Aarti camphor fell down in my hands. Hands means both the hands, just below the thumb. So, it got so bulged, and...
Must have burnt you badly?
Yeah, badly. I could not move my hand, it was so burning. Went to home, next day Swami came, and he told... This is to teach you that I am there always. You should not do wrong in the puja. So whenever you do puja, you will realize that you got a hurt in your hand. So that you won't do puja with without full-heartedly.
Oh my God. So that burn, that stain, pain remained as a reminder.
Yeah,
reminder. That you better do it properly.
Yeah. That too, it's just below my thumb. So when I stretch my hand, I can see that mark even today.
Like a constant reminder.
Yeah,
tough constant, one.
Yeah. Mm. Even today if I do aarti, when I used to hold that aarti plate with my two hands, I can see that mark which is below my ittam.
So when you offer aarti at the Mahasamadhi, there's still a reminder there.
Yeah.
Do you think of it sometimes?
No, I forgot because I started feeling Swami in everything.
Okay.
So even today when I give aarti, I feel Swami is sitting there.
So you were doing this Shirdi Baba thing?
Shirdi Baba. After I joined, one person has donated one land for Shirdi Baba temple to improve the building. Improve the Shirdi Baba temple. So they have taken us, this boy came, we got land. So we'll tell that boy to continue for some more days so that this temple will grow up.
So you were the lucky mascot, you proved very lucky.
So temple came. That Kumbhabhishekam also I did with help of some big priest from Madurai, Mr. Jairam Sastrigar. He is the one who is the head priest of Paduka Puja, which happens in Parthi. So even after the Kumbhabhishekam, I was as a main priest. When the temple was small, only twice a day in a week, aarti used to happen. That is Thursday and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So after that new building, every day four aarti, morning, afternoon, evening and night. So morning I have to come to temple at 5:30. I have to stay back till evening 1:30, afternoon 1:30. Evening 4 till night 9. So it was like a tough time and I was a young boy. I can't go anywhere. I can't take leave. If it is normal temple, some people is to come, some priests is to come, they will come and do puja. But when we tell Shirdi Baba, they tell, oh my God, no, I can't come because that is half an hour aarti. We can't stand and do aarti and also. I don't have any relievers there. So during my 5 years, I was there.
5 years you acted as a priest and a teenager priest.
Yeah, teenager priest.
Wow.
Those temple trustees also, they liked me so much. And because of that...
all the good luck
you brought them. So after... slowly I started Chavadi Urvalam there and I started Duni.
All the traditions that are held in Shirdi. And which are from the, they date back to the time when Shirdi Baba lived, right?
Yes,
the procession
true.
Of Chavadi and the fireplace that he lit,
yes,
called Duni.
Duni.
Oh, I see.
And there is a place called Gurusthanam,
yes,
where Shirdi Baba used to sit. So we created that. We created just opposite to the Duni, he used to sit. That is called Dwaraka Mai. So that also we created. So went on well. So there was some problem came in the temple. When Swami instructed me to move from the temple. And I told Swami, what should I do next? He told, apply for a job. Learn computer. So when I was in Shirdi Baba temple, he used to tell me always, learn Vedam. Learn Vedam, learn Vedam. But I will tell, no, I won't learn Vedam. Whatever I know, it's enough. I don't want to learn more. Because, to be frank, I don't like to do this puja stuff, aarti in a temple and all. I do puja in my home every day. Every day I do Sandhya Vandanam, even today. But I don't know, I don't like to do puja, those things. I want to be in some office, some pant shirt, you know, some tie, shoes like that. So later Swami told, you go and join in some office, learn computer properly. So I applied in MNC company, which is called 19-hour IT Information Technology.
Mm.
And some 300 people applied. I alone got into that company. No one else got.
Oh.
So Swami instructed, you should not stay in... It was... I'm staying in Thanjavur, but that office was in Trichy, which is some 60 kilometers. I have to travel every day. Swami instructed me not to stay there. Because you are a teenage boy, if you stay out of the home, your mind will start going here and there. So you should stay under so parents' control.
Mm-hmm.
So every day morning, I have to get up at 5 o'clock. That time also I can't sleep more. I have to travel in train. Every day morning, breakfast I used to eat in train. Lunch in office. Then night I'll come at 10:30. Again morning 5 o'clock. Only Sunday I had gap. But because of my father, we all four of us in our family, we were very interested to go for Samiti activities. Sunday means we call us a side day. Sunday we will not be free. We will call us a side day. Some or the other activity will be there. We will engage ourselves in Samiti activities.
But to get this job at the MNC in Trichy, did you finish your schooling privately?
Yeah, I did my schooling and my... UG in private.
Undergraduate studies. Oh, because, yeah, you would have to have that degree to get into the multinational company.
True.
Okay, that makes sense. So, you have such a tight, packed schedule, working 5 a.m. to 10:30 p.m.
Yeah.
Monday through Saturday, and then Sunday you're doing Swami's work in the Samiti.
Yeah.
Were they difficult years?
Sai Ram, and welcome back to Morning Glory, coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India. You just heard part one of my two-part conversation with Mr. Satya Narayan Babu, my colleague at Radio Sai. Satya is a former student of the Sri Satya Sai Mirpuri College of Music. He also serves as the priest who offers aarti to Bhagwan at the conclusion of each bhajan session in the mandir at Prashanthi Nilayam. So what did you think of Satya's experiences? Do email us your response at listener@radiosai.org. That is listener@radiosai.org. And don't forget to catch the final part of this Fleeting Moments interview right here on Morning Glory, same time next week. Now, you can also enjoy listening to this interview and all other Radio Sai programs at our website, radiosai.org, or at our Facebook page, facebook.com/Radio Sai. With that, it's time for me to offer Morning Glory at the Divine Lotus Feet. Till we meet next Thursday, please be well, stay inspired, and do whatever it takes to be positive. Up next, Seva, Love in Action with Raghu. Sai Ram.